And boy, you guys are looking good. Looking good. Are you having fun? Hey, before I go on, I'd love to once again introduce my beautiful wife, Julia. And she's having trouble getting that thing started. All you do is tap on one of the figures, and there we go. And but hey, Julia, why don't you come up and say hello to somebody tonight? Grab that mic next to you and come and say hello. Come on. Yeah, I think she should. How many would like her to do that? The reason I do this, she may be the reason. Well, I mean, Jesus is the reason. But when I couldn't walk and when I was paralyzed in bed and full of fear and seriously locked down, like I was not going to walk again according to doctors, and I was like depressed, crying, all the things that men don't do. And I was it. And then she came in and said, I never married this guy. I married a man of faith. What the heck's wrong with you? Boom, there you go, baby.
I thought I might have shared that one up there. Could just walk around closely to him and use his mic. Would be interesting, wouldn't it? I was imagining that. Who's got a great imagination? You know, you need that. You don't throw it away when you get saved. God's given you something incredible inside of you. I just want to thank you all. I want to thank C3, City Church. Wow, that's quite a name, isn't it? But I just love the fire of God in here. You've embraced this new freedom, and it's just so incredible. But I just want to thank you how you have honoured and blessed Don and I over the years, and even at conference last week and this weekend. You're such a generous people, and just continue in that because it changes the world. You know, this morning I woke up and I was looking at my phone, all the negative comments about a new government. You know, and I thought, wow, this should never affect us because God has given us something to carry, each one of us, and it's not the government that's going to change the world. It's each one of you. They think they're actually changing the world, but it's each one of you. Amen? If you look down over to the time, it wasn't the government of Rome and the government of this and the government of that. It was the people. They got together and built things. And that's you. You've built City Church. Wow. Amen. What a great... You know, the money that you've put in here has built this phenomenal place. And it's the generational bliss. I love James and Mary. They're just awesome. Pastor James has a very special part in my heart. Do you know, when I was a new pastor back here in New Zealand and I was going to some conferences and Dom would be away and I'd have to be there. And, you know, Pastor James always had my back. And I remember one particular time I was really vulnerable and I was actually nearly crying and this person came up behind me, put his hand on my back and he said to me, I've got your back. He listened to the voice of God and he moved. And, you know, God's voice is there for each one of you. And how we change this world is when we're out there, we listen to his voice. And, you know, you carry an atmosphere. And do you carry a sulky, solemn, tantrum-throwing atmosphere? Or do you get up in the morning and you seriously think, I'm going to worry the devil today. I'm going to change. And sometimes, you know, I get up and I don't feel that great. And when my kids were little, there was a song. It was one of those salty songs. And it's got, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart. And, you know, I get in the car sometimes and I start singing that because I refuse to take what the enemy is trying to put on me. And by the time I get to church, man, I could take on the whole world. But sometimes I go to the mall. The mall is calling, okay? I don't walk around seriously and look. I walk down there with my head up and I start smiling. And each person that comes towards me, I eyeball them. And I smile. And God might not give me a word for them, but I'll smile and change their day. And, you know, some people stop me and say, what is it about you? And I say, isn't it a fantastic day? Well, not really, you know. Yes, it is. And so whatever happens in this nation, you need to teach your children what's right or wrong. Even if the government puts through stuff and, okay, this is allowable. No, it's not allowable in our culture. Like, it's not allowable to come into my house and sleep with your boyfriend or bring drugs into my house and do that. That's my culture. I don't care what the government puts through. That's my culture. And so we need to actually, as parents and young people, you're going to grow up and be big people like us one day. You need, and you're going to get married. Decide what your culture is before you actually get into that marriage. And, you know, you change the world. And the other day we were out at Waiheke. This is just a short story. And somebody was having a birthday. And they're singing happy birthday. And I was walking in to buy some olive oil. And God said to me, buy the little boy, he was about four, a book. I don't know if boys read books, but it was quite a funny book, this book, so he probably would like it. And I put it in a bag and I went over and I put it on the table and said, happy birthday. And the mother looks at me and she says, it's not his birthday, it's my birthday. And I said, well, happy birthday. And, you know, I could have taken that on when I went saying, oh, well, you've got that wrong and you heard God wrong and that. And I thought, well, I know I heard God and I did what God told me. So that's good. So I went on talking. Next thing, the girl comes over and she says to me, you're an angel. And I was thinking, well, I know what I'm like at home and he could tell you I'm not an angel. So I usually have some good payback on him sometimes when he's being naughty, you know, so he knows I'm not an angel. Then at eight, she said, you're an angel. And I says, no. And she says, my mother died 4 months ago and she said, what you did would have been exactly what my mother did, is buy my little boy a gift. And she said, I felt like my mother reached down from heaven and put something on the table. Now, all it cost me was the price of a little book. But, you know, we hear, we have to train ourselves to hear God. And there will be a little bit of cost, but it will change somebody's life. And I just encourage you to wake up, get in touch with God, and then you choose what you carry. And when you go out, you can change the world. And this nation, we don't want to hear that it's going to the dogs, whatever those people are writing. We're making our nation great. Amen? So I just encourage each one of you, you know, if the church was mobilized and doing what it should be doing out there, that government would be scared of us. Okay, so just keep up this passion. Keep growing in God. Keep listening to God. And you guys at school, start praying up a storm in school to get your school safe. Pray for your teachers because sometimes you're a little bit difficult. So pray for your teachers. Pray for your pastors. But you know what? You're going to change something. And if you start standing there with Holy Ghost fire on you, hey, people are going to want what you got and they're going to chase after you. God bless you.
Boy, that was good. That was good. It's a bit challenging for us all. And so anyway, I think Julia and I have been a great team together. And can I say this to you? Always look for someone to team with. If we aren't developing or at least raising up, you know, I always say, in your pursuit with God, always reach back and pull someone else up to where you are. Always think about that in your Christian walk. Because the reality is, in fact, no matter where you are in life, the best thing you'll ever do is reach back and pull someone up to where you are. If you're doing that, I guarantee you'll position yourself in a better place to see the victory of God in every situation you do. And I just really believe that we need more of that kind of passion in New Zealand. Look at this bunch of young people over here. I mean, that just fires me up. And I tell you, we've got to stay fired up. We've got to stay on there because we should always be reaching up and pushing forward. Always reaching back, pushing forward. Reaching back, pushing forward. So the title of my message tonight on that note is right there. Exist for more. Exist for more. Title of my new book, actually, which will be coming out soon. And I want to tell you right now, if ever there was a time, see, it's very easy to get caught up in the circumstances of life. It's very easy to get caught up in the words that are being said around you. And in fact, in a place like this tonight, there's probably it's very hard not to sit. When Pastor Eleanor was up here, emceeing, we were catching faith. Well, I was. I don't know about you guys, but you can catch faith out of that. See, the people you hang with, if they're inspired, if they're looking up, you will catch faith from them. And we need to position ourselves. I spoke about that this morning, actually positioning yourself where you can be in a place where you actually receive. So everybody in this place, I guarantee you can exist for a whole lot more than what you're existing for now. I guarantee we can lift the bar, we can go higher, and we can do more for Jesus, okay? If a lady called Agnes, and I cannot pronounce her surname, but if she at a very young age of 18 decided to go on the mission field and went to ask for money to do that and couldn't get any, and people consistently tried to put her off. They said, you can't do it, it's impossible. How many have ever heard those words, it's impossible, you know? You can't do that, it's impossible. And so whatever age you're at tonight, I have heard those words a million times and never take any notice of them. Never believe it. It's impossible, they tell you. But my Bible here says, with God, all things are possible. And so if we'll believe God's word and not the opinions of people, then I guarantee you we can live and exist for a whole lot more and affect a whole lot more lives and literally change the world we live in, because that's what we're here for. See, they tell you that it's impossible to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. And if you listen to enough negative people, they'll tell you it is impossible. I was in a church one, I remember being in the, I'll tell you, and let me just, this is funny, because I think you've got to be a little bit transparent in life and you've just got to be real. And we're not all super super. I was nearly going to use the word super spiritual, but I don't like it. Supernatural is the word. We're not all supernatural, you know. In fact, we probably are. We're natural with a bit of super on it. And and that's the way you should be. If you get super spiritual, you do weird stuff. True, true. And it's a weird thing, but super spiritual situations never seem to last. They never seem to go anywhere. And so always remember to put God's super on your natural. Wow, and then you will see the power of God in almost anything you do. So I remember this night I was preaching in a church in America, quite a large church actually, and I made the silly mistake in the morning of saying we're going to have a healing meeting tonight. And although that sounds very audacious and awesome, you know, healing meeting tonight. So word got out about, and I forget how many wheelchairs were in that building, okay? And which is awesome and challenging to your faith. And then again, you've got to remember it's not you that's doing it, but it's God. And this is where you have your communication with God and you talk with God. And it's Him who's the healer. It's never us. But we are the instrument. And every single one of us can be an instrument in the hands of God. I take people to Vietnam with me and it's an open heaven there. And well, it is now. It never used to be. And we have an open heaven in a city called Kamau, which I can't remember how many million that is. But we get 7,000 people coming from out of nowhere coming to these healing meetings, and they've got no doctors, they've got no medical care down there, so they come with their grief and their pain. And seriously, there is such, when we preach the word of God and preach the miracle power of God and that faith works miracles through the name of Jesus, they flock forward and they literally get healed. And I don't think it matters who lays, like anyone can. And they lay hands on them, and people say to me, how did that happen? Well, it happens because we've got an awesome God. Yes. And sometimes we try to take all this on ourselves, you know, and I'm not even getting to the word yet, but this is where we go. And I was talking about this church in America, and so there's all these wheelchairs, and there were too many for me. And this is just in case anybody thinks, you know, Don's the man for me tonight or whatever. Boy, that could be taken wrong, couldn't it? Anyway, yeah, I know, baby. And So all these wheelchairs are there. And so what I thought best thing to do is call the ministry team, because the ministry team are powerful in every church. So the ministry team came up. I came down and prayed with them. And then we prayed for everybody. And there was carnage all over the altar. And I love that, by the way. And there was people all over the floor. And incidentally, you could teach a whole lesson on there, because I believe that many people get touched by the power of God. Anyone here been touched by the power of God, where you could no longer stand on your own? Anyone? And so when that happens to you, well, when it happened to me, the first time in life that happened to me, the power of God hit me. I went down on the floor, and I was down on the floor for 1 hour and 15 minutes and never got up. That's why when I got up, incidentally, I had a totally new heart. That's why when I got up off the floor, I was a new man. That's why when I got up off the floor, it was no longer the old Don McDonnell, it was a brand new one. Because it enabled God. See, falling over is not some kind of super spiro act. And we need to get that as Pentecostals, actually. If God lays you, a friend of mine went in for heart surgery a little while ago, and so I showed him the video Awake just before he went in. Have anybody seen that movie? Awake. It's this guy who goes into heart surgery and he's awake during the whole procedure, which they didn't give him enough of that anesthetic and it wasn't very comfortable. And so I thought I'd show it to him for encouragement, just in case he was awake for the surgery, so he knew how to handle it. Right signals, the right hand signals. But here's the deal. The reality is that when he went in for heart surgery, he was out cold, I think, for 2.5 hours. And they did total heart surgery, and he came out of there a brand new man. He was nearly dead before he went in. Every artery was blocked. He had literally nearly died on the spot. He came out of there. He had energy again. He felt he could do stuff that he could do when he was 20 years old. He was a new man. And here's the deal. We say, God, I want to be a new creation, a brand new man. And God says, well, this is a spiritual dynamic in your life where I need to give you a new heart. Because your old heart got stony. Mine was real stony. I don't know about yours, but I had a hard heart. I had zero conscience left. I didn't even know. Right or wrong didn't affect me either way. So God had to give me a brand new heart. Get rid of it. He says it. He says, I'll get rid of your old stony heart and I'll put a brand new heart within you. So when I was down there, it took 1 hour and 15 minutes to do this heart surgery. But when I got up, I was brand new. And I see people go down and they hit the deck and I don't know what that is. Sometimes I think, well, what is this? Because they spring to their feet again. And I'm thinking, man, that was quick surgery. That was like, I think we've got carried away where we think it's a spiritual act where people fall down and, oh boy, God must be here. Well, God is here if he's changing lives and we get up different to what we were when we went down. And I promise you, when I came up that day, I was a brand new man. Even my language changed that I could barely speak anymore. My language changed. Everything about me changed. And my life was different. So people noticed it was different. Our neighbor, I told you this morning, our neighbors noticed it was different. So they'd come knocking on the door. Knock, knock, knock. What's happened to you? Like you. Yeah, lots of things were different, okay? We won't go there. Exactly. Lots of things were different. My car didn't end up in their front yard when I was trying to get into my own front yard. Just one example. And so there were things that were different about my life. And we had kind of, I told you this morning, we had the greatest parties and everything. So they started asking. And one day, one of the neighbors came over and he said to Julia, what's happened to Don? He's so different. And this was heart surgery by the Holy Spirit. It's not kind of Spiro stuff. This is real. This is the power of the Holy Spirit transforming lives. Because if our lives are not different, you see, I see people all the time. They go to all the conferences, they do all the stuff, but their lives are kind of not different. I became as courageous as a lion. I'm afraid of nothing and nobody, because this anointing that gets on you changes your life. And it's a process for every one of us. So I realize it's a process for every one of us. But I want to encourage you tonight, exist for more. Exist for more of what God can. How do we get there? God, I want to get more filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. I think the church has kind of dropped that a bit. I think seriously, across our nations, we've dropped the Holy Spirit a bit. We've thought we can get along. We can't get along without Him. If you want to exist for more, we need more of the Holy Ghost. Let's get some Bible into you. Okay, here we go. Man, Lord, what's happened there? It's seized up on me. I don't know how that's even happened to me, but it's seized up. And we're on page 5. I didn't really want to be there. We'll start it again. Sorry. Here we go. No, it's not working. Cancel. There's a word. That's what I needed. Cancel. Okay, here we go. So I really want to encourage you with this tonight because I believe that this is a key to our lives. And I want to stir your faith because without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's everywhere. I was 25 years old. Any 25-year-olds in the house right now? Let's see if there's any 25s anywhere in the house. Man, not many. You're all under 25? That is the most exciting. Let me tell you right now. 30. Oh, okay. Okay. You look like you're 25, Victor.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're both. 21. Both, sorry. You'd both pass for 25. That's what I meant to say. The Bible says two become one. So if I'm speaking to one of you, same thing, all right? So there you go. And so I was 25 when I got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and power came on me. Now, this was the challenge for me. And I want to read you these because Jesus gave me a commission in life, okay? Jesus commissioned me. And so everything about my life was different. So I knew that I could no longer exist just for Don McDonnell. I no longer could just exist just for me and what I was doing. In fact, that life was boring. And I want to tell you, I meet a lot of boring Christians. And the reason they're boring, not you, Ron, because you're one of the most exciting people in the place. 95 years old and flipping, pumping it for Jesus, and rings me up on the phone and tells me how witnessing to people on various travels he's been on and how they've been giving their lives to Christ, an amazing miracle. We should live on the cutting edge of who we are because we exist for far more than the natural. But you cannot do it unless, in fact, Julia was saying to me the other day, I know why Ron is so flippin' energetic and so full of life, because the Holy Spirit's in him. That's what's keeping him alive. It keeps you pumping. It keeps you alive. It keeps you youthful because the Holy Spirit never ages. And so we'll always have a youthful spirit. But here it is, okay, and I want to give you this. The commission Jesus gave me, it was threefold, okay? And God said, I want you to change the world. I want you to go into all the world and make a difference. I want you to look for people who don't know me and bring hope to them, okay? So I dedicated my life to it. From that day, I used to do it. Even, I was a builder, raised and trained a builder. So I used to go around. Even right then, I was building houses. So I'd go around. First thing I thought of doing, let's write on every bit of wood I could find. Only one life to live, soon passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Wow.
And I used to write that on bits of wood. Then I got out of control and I started doing all kinds of other things. And used to get rubbished a lot for that, incidentally. Wow. And you'd get picked on and you'd get... Anybody ever been picked on the work site? Yeah, fantastic, I reckon. Fantastic. I used to love it, eh? And they'd pick on me and they'd have a go at me. But you've got to be quick. You've got to be quick, I'll tell you that. You've got to, and this is what the Holy Spirit makes you quick.
Yeah.
It says He will quicken your spirit. He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll make you more than what you are, more intelligent, more witty, more quick. And so you come up with answers out of nowhere. Answers out of nowhere. And I could give these guys answers. I remember on one job I was on, I got fired for being a Christian. Now, I will admit some Christians need firing for being a Christian. I've hired people thinking, this is a nice Christian brother. Let's hire him. He'll make my company go a lot better. And we won't go any further with that. We'll get back to my story. So I got fired, okay? And I got fired for this. The guy who was, we were running a multi-story building in Auckland City, not far from here, COVID-free. And we were, I was one of the supervisors on a job there, and we're on the, I think it was the 21st level at that time, and we were trying to finish that floor. The job, just to give you some understanding, the job was 3 months behind schedule, 3 months behind schedule, and they were going to be losing a lot of money on it. And I figured that the site manager, the foreman, was the problem, because he was very negative. We'd all come in there and he was very negative. He'd criticize people all the time. He was always moaning. I tell you what, the Bible says, out of your heart flow the issues of life. So wherever you're at is what will flow out of you. Wherever you're at, that's why we just got to get fired up. That's why we got to live there. So he was negative and critical and always moaning. And so I went up to him one day and I said, man, you are the reason that this job is 3 months behind. Well, obviously he didn't like that. And anyway, and this was a trail. This wasn't just one day out of the blue. This was after I'd offered to pray for this guy. I'd said to him at times, man, I'd like to pray for you that you'll get the victory in this situation. We can push this job forward. Anyway, next thing, I've got fired, okay? So I got fired. But here's the secret. You see, if you shine your light for Jesus, it will always be noticed. And it just so happens that the owner of the company, he came and saw me and he said, how dare they fire you? You are probably the best contractor we've got. And so he said, look, here's what we're going to do. And on, obviously, he invited me in. I ended up being on the executive board of that company, and he invited me in there. This is if you shine your light. This is if you've got the energy. This is if you're unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is if you don't pull back, because God makes a way where there's no other way. See, we think it's going to hinder us, but it doesn't. It multiplies our actual opportunity. It causes us to exist for more than we could ever imagine. Wow. And so next thing, he says, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you our site foreman. And we're going to fire him and put you in his place. And of course, being the beautiful Christian that I am, I said, that would be nasty to fire him. Why don't you give him a job working for me? See, God's into payback. Yeah. You just got to do it the right way.
Yeah. Very good.
So he's working for me. So I started on that. It was a 30-story building in Auckland there. I started a motivational course every morning on the work site to pump the site up and get all the contractors fired up for God. Well, not for God, just fired up, actually. Well, that was the headline, you know. But reality is, we get in this meeting, and it was a meeting. It was just like this. And I'd just give them principles out of Proverbs. I'd just pump them up. Guys would come in there, they'd come, you know, I've had an accident in the weekend, and I'd say, mate, we can fix that right now. And so I'd say, we'll just pray for you, and you'll be good on the job today. His leg would get miraculously healed. The next guy would pipe up and he'd say, man, I don't know what's going on in my house, but he said, my girlfriend's been getting dragged out of bed in the middle of the night and we can't work it out. The house is locked solid and something weird's happening and we're freaking out and we're afraid to stay in our own house. I said, man, I can fix that too. And so I went around to his house the next night and we brought the power of the Holy Ghost in there and kicked the devil out of the place. They get born again. Next thing, we had a revival on the site, and here's the deal, we finished 3 months ahead of the schedule instead of behind. This is what existing for more is about. And I want to just give you some scripture to back that up tonight, all right? Because there are three things. Number one, look, okay? Everybody say, look. My first point then, we've got to get finished here. I want to pray for people, okay? Because some of you are going to get the Holy Ghost on you tonight. Some of you are going to get the power of God. This lady right here, what is your name, by the way, ma'am? Raya. It's a privilege to meet you tonight, Raya. Who's this amazing girl? I met you before.
Yeah.
Your name's already gone.
Shayla.
Beautiful names too. Look, I'll tell you what. Get ready for God to touch you tonight. You're called for the divine destiny of God. And sometimes you look at your life and you say, how could it be that if I'm called by God, how could this have happened and that have happened? Because you can't work it out and you can't understand it. But let me tell you right now, God's putting great people in your life that are going to cause you to get alongside them. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and you're going to be a woman of destiny and a woman of purpose. I want to tell you that right now. And get ready for that to happen in your life. In fact, right now, I just speak that anointing over your life. And I thank you, God, right now, that the people you've put alongside this, you're a mighty, give me those hands. Hop up here, because I've got to get you up on your feet, because you're going to walk different to what you ever walk tonight, because God's going to give you a real action purpose in your life. In fact, I tell you what, get ready for what God's going to give you in the realm of dreams and expectation in your life, okay? You're going to dream again, girl. Dreams that have been robbed off you. In fact, circumstances have been robbed off you. Even as a young girl, you're like, man, how can I ever fix that up? Well, God says, I'm going to fix it right here tonight with my power and my love. Does that sound good to you? God bless you, girl. Father, lift your hands up toward heaven right now. Here comes the power of God on you. Holy Spirit, I thank you right now for the incredible anointing. And I pray over this young woman right now. I call you into the plans. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And I want to tell you right now, I see that future over you, and I see you rising up to it, and I see you walking in it, and I see victory all over your life. And I see you beginning to dream again and seeing stuff that you thought had been robbed from you, and everything that was hazy becoming clear for you, because God says, I'm going to send my angels to comfort you in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I thank you for that right now. Go for it, girl. See, sorry. You carried away with the mic there. And wherever I was going when I was going there. Number one, look. Okay, we've got to get through this too, because time's up. Number one, look, okay? So I want to encourage every person here to look around you, to open up your eyes and look around you. I spoke a little bit about it this morning. Take a second look, but I want to read this to you. Do not say that this is the Bible, okay? Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, for they are already white to the harvest. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? What are we hanging back for? Why are we stalling? You know, I remember these guys. There was one guy on the work site, and he was incredibly anti-me. Okay? Well, a lot of people have been. I pray none of you are here tonight. They're anti the guy. They like me. Don't get it wrong. They like me, but they don't like the gospel, you see. But the thing is, we've got to live it so real that it never leaves them. And I was, when a guy came to our church a while ago, and he called himself an evangelist, okay? But he was one of those, yeah. I said, come with me and I'll give you a few lessons on evangelism. So I said, come on, I'll disciple you. That's one of the great keys. You know, look for opportunities in people's lives. Everybody's got incredible giftings and incredible talent. Look for it in them. Pull it out of them. Yes. Now, there's 1,000 different giftings and talents right here on this side of me, all over the building, actually. But I love these ones because we've got the responsibility sometimes pulling these guys up, get up to where I am. And so I said to this guy, come with me. We'll do a little bit of evangelism. We went down the local cafe just down the road from me. And walked in there, and I said, so here's how it happens. We sit down, we order a coffee, and I went over to get something. And when I was coming back, I said, watch my move. So can I encourage you to look up, get a mentor and a coach in your life, and watch how they do it. The disciples just watched Jesus. Jesus did everything his Father showed him. And that way we can get revival in our nation. We can exist for more. So I went over, and as I was walking back, there was this table full of guys, and I walked up and I said, how you going, guys? Just like to introduce myself to you. Because I've shown them, this is how you do evangelism. I was just saying, how you going, man? Good to meet you. Fantastic. Awesome. Great to be here in this cafe with you tonight. And then this guy says to me, I know you. And so here was a prime opportunity to show this guy. And I said, well, how do you know me? And he says, you will never be forgotten. Wow. He said, you would have to be the most passionate God person I have ever met. He said, this is what he said. All through my life, since you left the construction industry, I've been thinking about you the whole time. Because he said, you disturbed my life. Now, I think what an incredible thing that we leave these reminders in people. Jesus says the harvest is ripe. This is in John 4:35, incidentally, if you want to follow up on it. And I suggest you do, because the first thing that God will give you, if you want to exist for more, you've got to open up your eyes and look around what's around you. I've literally led thousands of people to Christ because I'm always on the lookout for someone who's hungry for God. That's, and I'm saying, God, lead me. God, speak to me. A few years ago, 10 years ago, I went sailing one day. Because God said to me, I don't want you to be boring. I want you to reinvent yourself. God's told me to reinvent myself every few years, which I think is a great idea. So I thought I'll become a sailor. And that's a pretty good way to do it too, incidentally. If you want to reinvent yourself, be a sailor. Be a sailor. And, sorry, just trying to find this. And here it is. And so I was sailing with a very abusive sailor. And, in fact, nobody wanted to be on that boat. And so we were doing the Twilight Races in Auckland. And guys were saying stuff, this, I don't want to be with him anymore. And they'd leave the ship and abuse the heck out of them as they stepped off, and that'd be the end of that, and you'd never see them again. And God spoke to me very clearly. You've got to be hearing the voice of God, eh? And God said this, I want you to get alongside this guy. He's going to teach you stuff that you never, ever knew, and he's going to take you to a new level, and you are going to take him into a relationship with me that will change his world. Those are words to hear, aren't they? See, you've got to be looking. You've got to be looking. And sometimes we look with hearing, by the way. And so you've got to be hearing God. And so this guy, I walked through life with him for the last 10 years. 7 years ago, he got told, you've got 3 months to live. You're going to die with cancer. Massive cancer right throughout his body. Liver, kidneys, just about everything. Bowel cancer. And they said, 3 months to live. And he came to me and he said, what do we do about this? And I said, well, we pray for a miracle. And we pray that God would extend your life and give you life and get rid of this cancer. So we prayed and a miracle did happen. And we went back and there was a time where he had zero cancer in his life. And God did a miracle there. And then later on, about 4 years later, the cancer came back and became more aggressive. And I think 3 weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago, I buried one of my very best friends in life. And it was tough and it was hard. And the battle was, I committed the last, Julia will tell you, I committed the last 60 days of his life to pray with him every single day physically and believe for him. And he believed he was going to live. And he traveled to Vietnam and he laid hands on him. I remember one girl one day, she came up, she had cancer all down the side of her face. Was just horrible. She couldn't, there was no eye, I don't think. And I remember praying for her, and I remember I couldn't get her healed, and it was just so disappointing. She was 21 year old. This side of her face was just beautiful. This side wasn't so good. And it was just a horrible thing. And I said, man, can't let you go. And I prayed for her like for probably, would have been an hour. And then I went and got Paul, and I said, mate, I'm running out of energy. Come and pray for this girl. And he came over, and he just put his finger on him. Boom, the entire face just changed. The eye appeared. The skin turned to the skin of a baby, and she started dancing and shouting. And there's a video of it somewhere, and I don't even know where that is now, but just amazing, amazing miracles. And the last couple of weeks of his life, it was quite apparent that to me that he wasn't going to make it. He had faith to believe for a miracle. And I went to bed one night, and I just want to encourage you here. Cause I want to encourage you. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And God wants you to be, you know how it says that Moses talked to God as a man talks to his friend? And I want to encourage some of you in that, because I think sometimes our prayer life in the Pentecostal realm is very spiritual. I think sometimes we pray to God like, God, I wish you'd do this today, and you could do that too if you like. And I wish also if you could just get this happening in my life, because I'm tired of seeing that happen. I wonder if you could turn this around. And by the way, I need a new car. And by the way, I'm stuffed. I hate my job any longer and all that. And then amen. And he never got a look in. So I've been challenged with reading Psalms that God always responds to David. And David gives him a moment to respond. And I went to bed one night. It was 2 a.m. in the morning, and my friend, it was in the last 2 weeks of his life. and I could see that he wasn't getting healed. And I prayed this prayer, and I wrote it down, and I write down quite a few of my prayers these days because it just challenges me on keeping my prayer incredibly strategic. Yes. I want to see more miracles, guys.
Yeah,
we are too.
Yeah.
Anyway, flipping. Here we go. I'll read you this prayer, right? 2 a.m. in the morning. Hey, God, what's the story with my mate, Paul? He's getting a lot worse, not looking good. Looks like he's going to die. Are you going to heal him or what? Well, what do you think, Don? And I just keep typing. Here's what happened, all right? Well, what do you think, Don? Well, sometimes it looks to me like you're going to let him go right to the end and then die. But I can't understand why you'd allow that. It's like he's suffering so much. How can one man take? So I'm laying here at 2 a.m. and I'm asking you, God, well, why do you need to know, Don? Well, I guess it's because I care for him and I want to see our prayers answered. And you're praying that he gets healed, right, Don? Yeah, well, that's it. Well, Don, you do realize that Paul will never die, don't you? Paul has already been healed as I see it. I have let Paul go through this journey, which has been his healing process. His spirit was broken and he needed to be set free from tormenting spirits. That's why I brought you into his life, Don. I brought you across his path to help him negotiate his miracle spiritual journey. Because I knew it would be a difficult and challenging journey for him, and I knew that you would not judge him and walk away from him in his anger, his pain, and his hour of need.
Right.
But I get this feeling, God, that Paul's time on earth is still about to end, regardless of all that. And your point is, Don? My point is, I just don't understand it. I asked you for another 15 years. Yeah, Don, I know, and I heard your prayers. But Don, Paul's body is tired. And I gave him the last 7 years to journey with you, helping him to understand how much I love him and to get his spirit healed and cleansed. But God, that's still only 7 years. I don't understand. You're right, Don, but then my ways are not your ways, are they? You are so focused on the temporal, yet I have given you so many insights and glimpses of the eternal. Yes, God, I know that, and that's an area that I struggle with, especially since that regards my son, Regan. Struggle, Don? Do you really struggle? Well, no, not really. It's just hard letting go, and I will miss him like I miss Regan. Yes, I understand that, Don, because I did make you in my image and my likeness. So like me, you love, and it's hard to let go. Yeah, that's true, God. But why not another 7 years for Paul? As you can see, I'm pretty persistent. Yeah, that's true. But why not another 7 years for Paul? He has been such a great encouragement to me. Hey, Don, do you trust me? Yeah, God, you know I trust you. But Don, do you really trust me? Well, yeah, but I will miss Paul if he dies. Don, I already told you Paul will never die. So why would you miss him, Don? Well, I guess it's because he's my friend and we've done so much together. Yeah, Don, but he's my friend too. And remember, Don, it was me who put you into Paul's life. It was for him because I knew he needed to walk through his spiritual journey with you. And I knew you would not desert him and that you would stick with him through it all and be there for him in his pain. Paul needed healing in his spirit. He needed to be set free so he would be prepared to spend eternity with me, and that's why I put you into his life, Don. I shared that with him 2 days before he died, and he wept all the way through it, and 2 days later he went to be with the Lord in glory, which may not have happened in the state he was in before. So can I challenge you? Let's have our eyes wide open and look at our hurting world right now, because it needs people like you and I to bring a change in their life. And I want to really challenge you with that. My second point before we go from here is pray. God challenged me to be a man of prayer and to pray for the lost and pray for the harvest. If you've got anyone in your family today that needs Christ, I suggest that you pray for them like you've never prayed before, because right now they're lonely, they're depressed, they're without answers, and you and I have the answers. And my final point to you tonight is all you got to do is go. You can't sit. I can't sit here and pray that prayer. I got to go. And so where do you go? You go to your school, you go to your workplace, you go to cafes. Is it dead? Okay. Let's turn that off then. Oh, they can do that. Yeah. You go. And here I want to read you this. In Mark chapter 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Hear that, saved, okay? And he who believes shall not be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with other tongues. Pastor Eleanor was talking about that tonight. They will speak with other tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink anything that is poison, it shall not hurt them. And listen to this, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We're in the miracle zone here tonight, guys. Everything that's a commission, an assignment, if you like, on my life is available right here in this meeting right now. I live in this zone. It's my zone. It's what I feel comfortable in. It's where God operates. I want to, number one, I believe there are a lot of people here tonight that need to be operating in that zone. Look, pray, and go. Look, pray, and go. Everybody yell that out. Look, pray, and go. Boy. Can't remember your name. We've met. Yeah. James. James, get ready. Look, pray, and go. You've got an evangelist anointing on. I can see it from here. See, I can see these things. I can see it. It's like open up your eyes and look a bit. And you need to be really strategic about what God's called you to right now, man. Strategic moment in your life. Now, all over this place, there are people who are in that realm and in that element, and I want to pray for you tonight, okay? So, Julia used up all the time. Don't blame me. And going to pray for you right now. It's Sunday night and we're going to pray for you, okay? So I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Friend, if you're here tonight, maybe you're stuck tonight. Maybe tonight you're in that place where my friend was, that he was without Christ and broken on the inside and didn't know how to get there. Been to counselors and had people try to help him, but only Jesus can help a broken heart. Only Jesus can restore a broken heart. And I had the privilege, the absolute privilege and the honor of being able to be there in obedience to Christ, just be there for that one man. But there are thousands of people we can be there for. Maybe tonight you're in this place, friend, and you're saying, hey, Don, that's me. I want someone to be there for me because I need Jesus and I need to be made whole and I need my heart healed and I need to get right. And I wonder tonight if I would give you the opportunity, if you'd respond and say, Jesus, here's the key to my heart. I need you to unlock me and bring life to my life. And friend, I'm going to give you that opportunity tonight, right now, across this meeting. Friend, if you need Jesus in your life, if you need Jesus in your heart, if you need to be saved, if you need to get right with God, why don't you real quick just lift your hand right now. Yeah, God bless you, honey. Anyone else? Quickly, quickly, quickly. I don't want to draw this out. We're already late. 2, 3. Thank you. Down the back. Thank you so much. Anybody else right now? Just lift your hand. You're not lifting it to me. You're lifting it to Jesus. I never, ever need. It's not like I need someone to do it. Thank you, honey. God bless you. Others right now that are really facing torment in your life and there doesn't seem to be any answers and Jesus is saying, I love you. I love you. The greatest sound on the planet is Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, I do it. Come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy, burdened, under the pump as it were, and I'll give you new life. And if there's anybody else right now and you need to say yes to Jesus, maybe you're away from Christ. Maybe there's stuff going on in your life right now that's screwing you up and you're saying, God, I've got to get right with you and I've got to get urgent and I've got to start to exist for more. I want to live for Jesus tonight. If that's you, put up your hand right now. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else right now? Last call right there. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? Look, pray, and go. Three greatest things you'll do in your life. You guys know you're called for such a time as this. Looking, praying, going. Looking, capturing it with your eye. God's going to show you stuff. Even in the next couple of weeks, God's showing you really strategic stuff. And I want you to grab a hold of that, and I want you to let that breathe into your spirit, because God says you can't live outside of the supernatural. You can't live outside of it. If we try to live normal, it won't work for us. But God said, this will work for you because it unlocks power. And God says, I want you to, oh boy, step out in the aisle here. Right now, God says, you're going to be like a funnel, like I'm going to flow through you. God wants to flow through us. There's so many of us. God just wants to flow through us. And right now, boy, you've got an eye for the supernatural. You've got an eye for, now, fire of the Holy Ghost. Fill her afresh tonight, Lord God. On my brother right now. Lord, on these hands right now, hands that you lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Now let the anointing go on his life in Jesus' name. On both of you right now, I cause angels to be deployed around about you that would activate the power of the gifts of the Spirit. Right now, here's what we're going to do. Every person who lifted their hand, some that shouldn't, I'm going to invite you just to come to the altar tonight right now. Would you please? Please, if you lifted your hand or you know you should have, right now, just come to the altar. Just come. Give them a hand clap as they come, by the way. Yeah, God bless you, honey. Man, God bless you. No wonder I saw all that good stuff over you tonight, girl. No wonder. Come on, guys, from down the back there. Come on down. I promise you I won't embarrass you. I want to pray with you. I want to shake your hand. I want you to catch something on me. Sometimes you can just catch it. It's my favorite thought is that it's better caught than it is taught. It's better caught than it's taught. Oh, I love you guys. You just got beautiful smiles and you're awesome. And this is a great day of your life. Let me shake your hands and congratulate you. Did you bring her up here? No, you came with her. That's so awesome. You brought her up. You came with them. Sarah, you are such an evangelist. I'm proud to be your uncle. Yeah. Boy. Man alive. Get ready for what God's got in your life. See, this is what I was talking about before. Get alongside someone, rub shoulders with this girl. You'll be amazed what you catch in your life. You won't catch COVID. You won't catch any. I hope you do catch the virus of the joy of the Holy Spirit. That's all we should be catching. Tell you right now, right across here. Can I get you all just to move this way into the center a little bit? Give me your hand, girl. I want to just believe with you tonight. I want to believe with you tonight. That every single thing that has tried to disqualify you in life, and we all have that, let me tell you. And it's the saddest thing in the world that there are so many things for every one of us here that try to disqualify us. And I just feel there's been things that have tried to disqualify you. But I want to tell you tonight, Jesus says that I am going to totally and completely turn it around. Right here on the altar. It's beautiful, girl. I love you for just being here. Thank you. Thank you. For everyone that's here, get ready. Let's pray. We're going to pray. That's the best thing we're going to do here tonight. We're going to pray because some of you are going to get a miracle. You're going to get a miracle here tonight. A miracle. Sometimes you just think church is too short. Because I feel so many incredible miracles are happening here right now. Don't get me wrong, I love physical miracles. But I also love miracles where people surrender their lives to Christ. Because the biggest miracle you ever see sometimes is the one you can't see. The heart, the soul realm, getting healed and getting renewed. So we're all going to pray. And you're going to get a miracle here tonight, I tell you. You're going to get set free. Jesus' name. Here it comes right now. Why don't we all pray this together? If you're on the altar, I want you to lift your voices up and make this your prayer, please. But say, Jesus, I want to thank you. You loved me when I didn't love myself. And you gave yourself for me so that I could have life, so that I could breathe again, so that I could be who you created me to be. And right now I want to thank you for that wonderful gift of salvation. Tonight I receive it. I receive the wonderful power of a transformed life. And in Jesus' name, I declare with my mouth that I am a new creation. I'm brand new. And right here, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. He will lead me. He will guide me. He will put the right people alongside me. And He will walk with me to enable me to fulfill His call on my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's give Jesus a huge, huge hand clap. Huge, huge hand clap. I love you all. I think it's just absolutely, here we go. Whatever I've got on me, I give it to you tonight, okay? A passion for Jesus that causes you not to be able to sleep at night because you're so excited about Jesus. Let it get on a little. Oh boy, there's a miracle happening right here. Can you feel that? There's a miracle happening right here, right in your heart. Oh my goodness, that's so cool. Thank you, Jesus, for this miracle. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. And we thank you, God, right now for a brand new life. Brand new, brand new. God just broke off a generational curse off your life, actually. You're brand new from here on. Man, thank you, God. Give me a hand, man. Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for a brand new start right here in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now, let the anointing get on him. On these beautiful young women, God, I pray right now that you would be a mighty woman of God. I pray that you would catch the call of God and the cause of God. And like me, you'd exist for a whole lot more than you ever existed for. And you'll believe that God's called you and assigned you to be a mighty woman of God. And you're going to see people get saved. And oh man, here it is right now. Holy Spirit, let an evangelistic anointing get on her in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God, for a miracle right here. And I thank you, God, that today is a brand new day. In fact, turn around. Turn right around in a circle and look at me again. Right back around. One more time. One more time. And I tell you what, every time you turned right there, God says you turned through the winter season, through the season of darkness, through the season of autumn where everything's falling. God says it's springtime in your life and I'm going to put new leaves and I'm going to cause you, my heart, my glory to shine on your life in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, let a miracle happen here. Thank you for this amazing young woman. God, I thank you right now for the power of God right through you in Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord God, for this incredible woman. Thank you, God, for the power of God right through you right now. Jesus, such as I have, I give you. There it is. Father, we rejoice in your plan for our lives. God, it's not by chance that we even stand together tonight. But God, I believe right now that we're going to see incredible miracles come out in Whānau, in your home, in your the place where you dwell. God's about to visit those places with power. Get ready for it right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Ellen, I'm feeling like I should hand it back to you, or otherwise I'm going to pray for a whole lot more. You sure, Ellen?
Yeah, yeah.
We've gone.
We've got all the time in the world.
Well, we haven't really, but I appreciate that. But here's what I'm going to do. Stay on the altar, unless those two people are taking you away. But stay on the altar. The presence of God is about to fall all over this altar, all right? Now, I really, really believe we do not focus on man, we focus on God, okay? And right now, I'm going to put a call out across here. If you need a miracle, but I want to challenge this miracle. I want to challenge the people who don't exist for more, who are comfortable in your skin, and comfortable where you are as a Christian. I'm going to challenge you tonight that there's a whole world out there right now that is really perishing. Don't blame the government, blame us. The reason the world is off track tonight is because the church got off track. And I believe that we can turn it around in a really quick time as we all catch the fire of God. So I want to tell you right now, if you need a fresh anointing for evangelism, if you need a fresh anointing to look, pray, and go, I want you to jump out of your seats and be here right now, because the power of God's about to come on that. So if you need to be stirred up in your passion for the lost, jump up on this altar right now, and I'm going to speak a miracle over you. Boy, the presence of God comes down right on that, right there. Here it is right now. Jesus' name. Now, these beautiful musos, and instrumentalists and all you amazing people, you miss out almost every time, but you are an anointed, destined, oh boy, power of God's on you. This is your girlfriend, is it? Or you? Yeah. That's how it goes? You're Caleb's friend, right, eh? You came and talked to me. We were talking about Caleb the other day.
Yeah.
That was good too. Boy, get ready for what God's about to release in your life, man. You've got a real heart that can see beyond your own circumstances, and you have a real heart to care for others, man. And I'll tell you what, God gave you that heart, and he's going to use that in a mighty way in your life. Get ready for that to happen. You've got a good girl alongside you here. She worship leads fantastic. Got me fired up. Keep carrying that anointing. Always realize this. You're never, any of you, you're not just singing. You are prophesying. And people are getting healed while you prophesy. People like me are in the crowd and they're thinking, man, I just need something tonight. And boom, there it comes. Because your voice enables the power of God to be released in people's lives. Drum, Mr. Andre, you mighty man of God. Drumming like an absolute legend. Speak the anointing over your life right now. You're a bit of an evangelist yourself, actually, sir. Grab a hold of it, man. Get it on you and go for it, all right? You've got the energy for it. You've got the vibrancy for it. You're not ordinary. You're a little bit above the bar. You make people come alive, man. Keep that on you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for these mighty men of God on these instruments. I thank you, Lord, that even as your word says, he trains our hands for war and our fingers for battle. I pray right now that it wouldn't be just here, but all over your lives and in your world that miracles happen. Over this keyboard, it's God, I thank you for the music that they release. I thank you, God, for the anointing that comes as you play. And I thank you that in your life and in your whole family, that miracles be released right now in Jesus' name. Carry it, man. Carry it into this next season. Carry it into this next. Get ready for more. In fact, I really believe tonight that God says there's more in you. There's more in you. There's a whole lot of stuff in you that's yet to be birthed out of you. Let it go in Jesus' name. Here we go. Everybody lift their hands toward heaven right now. And in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit evangelistic anointing that's in this place. And I thank you for the fire of God that's about to fall all over this place. And right now, Lord, I just ask you right now, right across this auditorium, I pray that there would be souls in the kingdom. I pray that there'd be families getting saved. I pray loved ones are getting born again. I pray right now that children who have gone away would come back in Jesus' name. And I pray that right now that you would unlock faith in every one of these individuals. There you are, man. Anointing comes on you. What's on me gets on you tonight in Jesus. You're getting some of that too in Jesus' mighty name. That's a fire. That's a fire. That's a fire right there in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, breathe it on them. And I tell you what, if you're up here tonight and you need a miracle, if you need a miracle right now, there's an anointing here for the miraculous. And God tells me that all you have to do is step into it. That all you have to do is step into his grace for you. Cancer, you bow in the name of Jesus. Liver disease, you bow in the name of Jesus. Nervous conditions, fear, anxiety. Anxiety's about to leave somebody right now. In fact, anxiety is gone in Jesus' name. Gone in Jesus' name. In fact, here's the prayer for you. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, give thanks in all things. There's your medical prescription for your anxiety right there. Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication, be thankful in all things. If you need a miracle, take a step forward from where you are right now. Just one step forward. Receive your miracle right there in Jesus' name. I release it on you right now. That one step you took, released a miracle. I pray right now, God, let divine impartation happen right now. Disease, bow. In fact, I speak to your central nervous system, calling it whole and complete, as God's word declares it to be. There it went on you right now, in Jesus' name, right there. Power of the Holy Spirit went right through you. In fact, pain gets off your body right now, in the name of Jesus. Mighty woman of God, you're a woman of faith. Faith is going to get ignited even through this experience. God says faith is going to be ignited in your life and in your circumstances. And right now I declare and activate the miraculous in your world in Jesus' name. Over this mighty man of God. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, Kerry, take a breath of it, because I want to tell you right now, I feel an impartation getting on you. And I reckon, get ready for a mighty harvest of the Holy Ghost. Tuki takapa papapurunda. In Jesus' name. Which interpreted would mean, here comes the anointing on your life right now, totally set free in Jesus' name. Never the same again, brother. Never the same again. Lift those hands toward heaven right now. Here comes the power of God on you. Right through them, right through them, right through them, right through them. Hey, some surgery happening right here. Some surgery happening right here. Tuki ta talaboshiki anda, right in his spirit. I breathe it into you. Jesus' name. Now, Lord, right across this place, I want to thank you for heaven being open. I declare over... Oh, boy, look at this little... I just got to pray for this little girl here. I just saw the love of God all over you, honey. You love Jesus? He loves you to bits. And here he is right now. And, Lord, I want to thank you for a miracle for this little girl in Jesus' name. What's your name, honey?
Grace.
It's a beautiful name. You're just going to get a miracle because of that, okay? Holy Spirit, I thank you right now from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. I activate the power of God on your life right now in Jesus' name. And if you're the mum, I want you to receive some of that right now in Jesus' name. Get ready for what's going to happen in your family, over your lives. There's a real hunger in your guys. This is a turnaround for your guys' life. Tonight is literally a turnaround for your guys' lives. Jesus. I'd love to pray for everybody here, but Pastor Ellen, I'm going to hand the mic back to you at least.
And then keep praying.
Yeah, I'll keep praying.